I'd like to read to you the one verse from the book of Micah, and you all know what it is. Micah 5, verse 2. Micah prophesying of the coming of Christ.
Amen.
Micah 5 and 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. But the Lord added blessing to the reading of his word. Again, Father, we ask, Lord, that you will help us this morning, Lord, to deliver that which you would have. We ask you, God, to be with our congregation, be with each one of us here, Lord, that we might open our hearts to thee. Lord, as we come to this season, this very special time of year, when you gave your all. We know, Lord, that sometimes we just take for granted. But Lord, let us remember how much you did give. Take us, Lord, and use us. For it's in the name of Jesus that we ask it. Amen. Prophet Micah was one of the minor prophets, and I don't know why they call them minors and majors, except for the size of the book. They had more to prophesy, some of them did, but Micah was a prophet. He was telling them of their faults and their failures and how the God was not pleased with them. But then he made this promise of one that was to be born that would come out of a place that was so, well, unusual, we might say. It was a small, he says, small among, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. Yet out of thee. In the New Testament, someplace, it says that was there ever any good thing come out of Jerusalem? Meaning that Bethlehem was special. But you know, God took the smaller things, those things that we might consider probably insignificant, or those things that didn't seem like anything great. They was expecting like a leader, a king, someone that was in authority that could, you know, take care of all their problems and all this and that. Not what they expected, a little bitty baby. To think that a little baby could do all the things that is prophesied in the Bible. Well, back in the Old Testament time, when we go back to the, even way back into the book of Genesis, we read of man's faults, failures, and how he separated himself from God through disobedience, through doing what God told them not to do. They did it, and they lost. Well, they just lost everything. And as they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, see, they realized how great it was that being there in the presence of God, and how it must have been just perfect. Everything was there that they needed, but it didn't satisfy. They wanted to go a little bit further. And what did they do? They went against what God had told them to do. And they ate of the forbidden fruit. That sin that started their downward trend. Then they tried to hide it, to cover it up when God came in, and they had seen themselves as naked because sin had entered into their heart. And ever since that time, it was a struggle trying to get back to where they once stood. I thought as I was studying on this, isn't that like us? That we have been in the presence of God. We have been elevated to a point that it was just perfect. Am I right? When you were saved, when you first became a Christian, it was so great. I mean, you just felt like you was on top of the world, which you were. But then we kind of cool off a little bit. We kind of, Baptists don't backslide, I guess. But we kind of fail a little bit. And we find ourselves maybe lacking. And we want it constantly, we're trying to get back to that one place that we were. We would just love to get that feeling back where the whole house was in one accord, where every pew was full, where, people couldn't wait till the time for service to come to get into the church to worship God and just to fellowship and just to feel real good all over. We just can't wait to get back there. Well, God made the way. He made the way for Adam and Eve. When they came out of there, they had their problems. And they had to go through all kinds of trials and tribulations and all that down the road. But they brought it all on themselves. Sometimes we get in the exact same place. We feel like we not quite good enough. We got to go a little bit further. And we find ourselves sometimes getting into trouble. Things comes upon us that we don't like. But it seems like we can't change them. And we'll fight it to the bitter end. We'll struggle. We'll do everything that we can. We'll hide it. We'll say it doesn't exist. We'll do all these things. Except we put the very last sword. Repentance. That is our very last thing that we are willing to do, is to say, I'm wrong. That's the hardest thing in the world for a person to do, is to admit that we are wrong. Well, this is where the whole world was back in the Old Testament times, and the prophets was preaching, they were teaching, and Micah was saying that there will be one come. There's other scriptures. Isaiah has been read this morning already. In our Sunday school class, we read it. In the 9th chapter, the 6th verse was our Sunday school lesson. And it tells, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We read it even in our opening this morning, in our responsive reading. Because this was Isaiah's prophecy of the coming of Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one who could make right all these things that man had brought upon himself. It was prophesied twice in Isaiah. In the 7th chapter and the 14th verse, I read it to you at the opening of the service. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. God problem, the answer to every problem in the world was on its way. Wow. Now that is a prophecy that they wanted to hear. Yeah. Boy, all of our problems is going to cease. It's going to be over. Well, let me tell you, friends. We have prophets today in churches that tells you that your answer to your problem is on the way. It's on the way. It's about to come. Not as a little bitty baby, because he came to save the world, to put us into a mind, to put us into a position where we will be ready. This preparation that we're going through today, this life that we live, is only a preparation for the coming day. Yes, when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, all things will be made right.
Amen.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
He will make all. We go out here today and we find all the corruption. We talked about it in Sunday school, with all the things that are going on where they're robbing the poor and giving it to the rich and all that. Well, these are things that has always been and always will be. Christ himself said, the poor you always have with you. Yeah. He said it himself. But these things are going to be made right through the coming of Jesus Christ back to this earth to set things in order. Yes, this little bitty baby that was born there in Bethlehem went through the childhood life, grew to be a man, and I often wonder what that life was like. You know, we don't have any recorded history of Jesus Christ in his early years. We don't get teenagers. No, we don't have it. But we do know that the Spirit of God, as Cindy taught this morning, was upon Jesus Christ from the beginning. He was with God from the very beginning. After he had ascended into heaven, they stood and they watched as he went up into the clouds and disappeared and was gone. Can you imagine being standing there watching as Jesus Christ was just lifted up and just gone? Wow. But the angel came by. He said, what are you looking for up there? Why peer you up into the heavens? What are you looking for? The same Jesus Christ that ascended into heaven would descend exactly in the same way from the cloud back down to the earth. Let me tell you, folks, if we are alive and remain and see this coming, you'll see it all right, because he says every eye. Mm-hmm. All over the world, all around, there's nobody that's going to miss it. But will they be ready for it? That's the question. We'll see it, but will we be ready for it, or will we have to say, ooh, kind of hide? Because he makes it possible, as was predicted right there in Isaiah, prophesied, Micah prophesied, Abraham knew he was coming. They all knew it, that he was coming. But it was in Luke, the book of he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Wow. Everybody hates taxes. Yep, tax time comes, rolls around the first of the year. But in this case, the tax that was put upon the people became a blessing. Because it was in God's plan. Now that just didn't happen, you see. God had all this planned out that Joseph and Mary would have to go back to that little old town that was predicted back there in the Old Testament time, because they were of that area. They were the house. They were that house. They went back to be taxed. Yes. And what time? Exactly the time that Mary was due to deliver. That wasn't an accident. See, God had all this planned out in his plan, that it would happen just exactly as he said. It wasn't an accident that when they got there, everything was filled. All the hotels were filled up and the inns were full and there was no place for me there. It was no accident that there was a little old stable. And I can imagine when they went to that stable, can't you just imagine what it was like? An old, dirty, stinking barn? No way. When they went out there into that barn, it became heaven on earth. Because something was about, the song says, let's go see what's happening in the barn. Yes? When they went into that barn, I can just imagine that when they went in there, that it was just better than the uptown place that they couldn't get in, because God was in it. When that light stopped over that stable, when that beam came down on that barn, oh, how it must have been glorified. And you know, I can just imagine the animals as they were milling around there, that they all just had to stop and just look over there and see what's going on. They looked down on that happening there. They knew that something great had done come down with them. I'd have liked to have been one of them gals. Yes. Couldn't you just believe it? And to think that all those rich people that were just out the way there a little bit up in that inn, them fancy rooms and all that high class stuff, what they would miss. Oh yeah, they had all the comforts of this world, but they didn't have what was in that barn. They didn't have that God had given. Yes. He came just as a little bitty baby for you and I. And he knew what was ahead, all the way down to the end, to the ascension back into heaven. Yes. Terrible. Things that they put him through. But he did that for you and I. And like he said, when he ascended back into heaven to be on the right hand of the Father, that he was going to return. And when he come back, all things are going to be made right. Yes, those that are now asleep, yes, those that we have committed to the earth, The Spirit has gone back to be with God. To be reunited, it's there in 2 Thessalonians if you want to read it, 4th chapter. How that when that day comes, when Jesus makes his appearance, the graves are going to give up their dead. Those of us who are alive and remain will gather together to meet them in the air to ever be with the Lord. Whoopee! You ready for it?
Yes.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen just as surely as we are here today. Those out in the world say that's bunk. Yes. They might not believe it today, but I'll guarantee you one thing. When he makes his appearance, everybody's going to be a believer. There is no more doubters. Everybody's going to believe it because everybody's going to know, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, Jesus, every knee shall bow. Nice thing about it is that when we go, it's going to be gone. Yes. I think about laying Bob in Bob's old house in the ground just a week or so back, and how that it tore us all up. Bob's not there. No, that was the house that he lived in. We're going to get a new house. We're going to get a new body. And that body is going to be resurrected in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Folks, it's just to me like, and I keep saying it, and I'll say it till I die, it's just like a good night's sleep. When we go to sleep, in a good night's sleep, and we may lay there for 8 hours and wake up just like that, and we don't know where the time went, believe me. Those that have gone on before us, they won't know where the time went. Because it'll be just a snap, just like that, a twinkling of an eye. To be reunited with loved ones all over the place. Those of us who are alive and remain won't die, but we will be changed. Because this old body's not going. I don't care how good you think you are, how righteous we might feel like we are, it ain't going. It's going to stay here. Because we will be changed. We'll have a new body. Even this old headache that I've got this morning has got to go. Yes. Praise the Lord. I thank you for all that he's done. Yes, folks. When they prophesied of the coming of Christ, they knew they needed a Messiah. They knew they needed a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God sent him. He sent his only Son that we might have eternal life if we would just accept it. Simple as that. As we go through this holiday season, there'll be many heartaches. There'll be many catastrophes. There'll be many sorrows, as we've already heard this morning. There'll be all of these things. But they will end. They will cease. But when Christ comes, he makes all things new. We count it a privilege just to assemble ourselves together in his name. We have that privilege. You see, we know that we need more than this world can afford. Oh yes. Christmas time, if you look at the world, Christmas means shopping. It means big crowds, spending a lot of money. doing a lot of work, making a lot of cookies, getting fat, means a lot of things to a lot of people. But if we keep Jesus Christ in our heart, if we say, Lord, I'm not much, but here I am. Take me as I am. Forgive me my sins. Take me as I am. Use me as you will. That is the greatest gift that you could give anybody. That gift goes to God, but it also goes to one another. Let me be your servant. Let me be your friend. Let me be your comfort in times of trouble. Let me be what you would have me to be. This is your greatest gift to anybody. It's just to say, Lord, yes, I'm yours. Take me and use me. Father, as we bow in your presence, we do thank you, Lord, and we praise you for that great gift that you gave us of eternal life through Jesus Christ. No other way could we be rejoined to you, Lord, but by his gift of grace. Not worthy, Father, of the goodness and the mercy that you have shown us. We're not worthy, Lord, but we truly thank you and praise you for your gift. We ask you, Father, to be with each of us and our families. Keep us, O Father, safe. But let us, O Father, just keep evermost in our mind what you do for us. Help us, Lord, in our work. Help us, Lord, in our church. And we ask, God, that you will send in those, Father, that has the need. And let us, O God, be ready to serve as you would serve.